UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Couple things. Very good. See, that's why I love my listeners. Joe Torre with breasts. Great paraphrase from Ball 4. That's exactly where I stole that from. The great book by Jim Boughton, Ball 4. That's a line from that book. That is good work out of you, listener. You deserve a prize for that. That is a good reference.
What was it in... I have so many questions.
What? He said it in a more callous way that I can't say on the radio, but they were alluding to a woman who is not particularly attractive and said she looked like Joe Torre. There you go.
Okay. And it's from, but it's from that book?
From Ball 4, yes. Ah. So good work out of him.
That is impressive.
Bobby V turning into Billy Reid. I don't know what that means. Billy likes dance teams?
He's had a couple of decent bites.
I mean, that was unusual.
Stormy Daniels.
I'm serious about that. It's nothing rude. wasn't creepy. I'm not trying to find out their names. I just happen they're a stunningly attractive group of women. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's, you know, I don't know. Maybe Menudo were really cute looking guys. I don't know where they have any idea. But I'm just trying to say you can say that without. Going over the line. I don't think I've gone too far over the line. But that was just saying because you had kind of alerted me to that, and you were right. How does the guy at midcourt make a call on the baseline in front of the lower ref? Blows my mind. Well, because I just got through telling you. Sometimes he sees things that guy doesn't, because maybe that guy's looking at the guy standing on the baseline and the ball's getting kicked out to the corner and he's turned to look at the corner to watch the closeout, and the guy at midcourt sees the other defender come and run up on the guy in the post and put two hands in the back. It's an automatic foul and he calls it. That's what he's supposed to do. That's actually good teamwork officiating. The problem is whether the guy is close to the play or not, if he calls it and he guesses at it, sure, that's a legitimate source of criticism. That's got nothing to do with where he is on the court. That's any official. You know, if you guess, you've got a 50-50 chance of guessing wrong. So that's it. I know soccer assistant referees can actually signal for fouls, but they don't do it very often. I know that. I don't want to get into a whole soccer officiating, you know, breakdown here, because I don't think it was just to make the point. Basically, they don't do it all that often. You want to know the truth? Hockey referees can do that too, but they never do. They're empowered to tell the ref, "Hey, number 12, just chop that guy's neck off," but they don't do it. So there you go.
They also are the first ones to break up the fights. You think that's what the linesmen in the NBA will be?
No.
I've said that at first. I started that sentence goofing around, but there are a couple pushing and shoving.
Yeah, but
things,
that's not going to, because if you assign that to them, you're basically implicitly acknowledging, okay, let's go at it, fellas. That's not what you want to do. Not, there's not a lot of fighting going on in the NBA now. So it's not like we got to bring these guys in to break it all up. I called him before and said, 30-second replays in all sports at regular speed. Just fix the bad calls. There's no need to stop the flow of the game. Give the coaches a free timeout and players some rest. Even with super slow-mo and high def, they get calls wrong. That's my whole point. Thank you. That this is everything that's going on. If all this stuff we're doing, there's still this dissatisfaction with it. Why do we continue to do it? Why do we continue to make the game play in little 8-second spurts, 5-minute video review, 10-second spurt, 10 more. It's just craziness. So, I mean, you're just going to have to play through some bad calls. That's the way it goes. Believe me, referees do not like to what, state your business. What the hell's going on now? What does he want? What does he want? Produce looking particularly raggedy today, by the way. What's up with that, man? You got the ragged look going. Are you going for that?
I got to shave the beard. I'm waiting on to, you know, run Mark's show. It kind of got thrown on me in the last second, so I'm just kind of waiting around for him to tell me what to do to get everything ready.
Wait a minute. Mark as in Mark Ennis?
Yes.
Well, then who's going to run? Who's running?
Mitch runs the take on Monday, so it was going to be like my half day. And my half day got
I didn't know kaput. Mitch has it on Monday. So this was educational. So you came in to educate us. Edumacate us.
If you want to call it that, sure. Why not?
Wow.
As long as I can stay in your good graces, Bob, we'll call it that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Did you tell him Patty Ice has the runs?
I'm not sure, as I love to listen to the games, but knowing you and Pratt are down the middle on calls, when I hear you all cast a little doubt, that leads me to think the refs are not as good as they can be. No, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate that. I always wanted to be that guy. If I'm doing a game, like I said, if I say I think that team is playing well, I really think they're playing well. I'm not being a honk for the home team or can't criticize the road team. Same thing with the officials. Every call that's made against our team, Mike, if it's made against Kentucky or made against Louisville, we're not going to just jump in there and say, oh, they're terrible. But if we do say, oh, I think they missed that one, they miss some. And they will miss some. And they'll always miss some. They've missed some now. They missed some last year. They're going to miss some later and later and later and for now and forever. I don't know. Maybe someday there'll be a way to make it so they don't miss it. I find that I don't know how. I really don't know how. It's like trying to figure out how you can play football without, you know, at least running the risk of a guy bonking his head. I mean, you can change the rules. I'm glad they do. And the helmets are safer. But, I mean, there's going to be that element of a risk. It's just the nature of the beast. It's I think we're going to have to we've got to do a better job of empowering the officials to do their job and then living with whatever mistakes happen, because mistakes are going to happen. That's just how it works. So, anyway, that's what I see about that. Let's see what else is going on. Oh, Kentucky's win is worth a comment. And this is also, your thoughts on this. Kentucky won at Arkansas. They were actually 2 or 3 point underdogs in that game when Tip took. I think they were maybe 2 point underdogs. And when I was doing the game, and like I said, Sean Kelly, who I'm doing the games with now in college for ESPN, said something, and it made me wonder. He said, and Arizona now with the underdog Arizona Wildcats now with a 15-point lead on Colorado. And we went to commercial. I said, why'd you call them underdogs? They're actually favored by 5 points. He said, yeah, but they're not ranked, and Colorado's ranked, so I called them underdogs. When you are listening or looking at a game, who do you consider the underdog? The team that's ranked or the team the team that's unranked as opposed to the team that's ranked, or the betting underdog? See, I look at it as the betting underdog. The ranking is just our guesses as people looking in saying, I like them better than them. They're good. They're not so good. They are better. So, the betting is people putting their money where their mouths are and saying, all right, that's the definition of a favorite, you know, is determined by the betting. So I still take issue with him on that. He didn't change his mind, though. He said, no, I'm still looking at it as a favorite, playing a ranked team, playing an unranked team. And it is a big storyline. You see the amount of attention those games are getting. So there's some merit to that. But I think I'm going to put that as a Fan Outfitters Twitter poll. I'm afraid, Sean, I hope you won't take it personally. I'm not trying to – well, yes, see? 80% of the people agree with me. I'm curious, because we didn't get into a big fight about it. But, I am curious – how people perceive it. I go by what I take a look and say, okay, team A is an 8-point is laying 4 points. Let's say in my mind they're the favorites. I don't look at it based on what the Sagarin say or what the I'm going to commercial. I go by that. But I'm curious because some people would say no. The ranked team defines it. So I'm be curious. I don't. I'm going to put that up. And if you want to vote on it, then you can do that and possibly get yourself a new car. All you've got to do is go to the dealer and give them money. It's that simple. There's no limit.
To steal it twice the price.
Get as many as you want to pay for. Oh, thank you very much, listener. I appreciate that. Bob, heard you on the ESPN broadcast on Saturday. Great job. We're excited about that, by the way, because we have, part of the all the kidding aside about the new computers, one of the things it's going to let us do is we're getting all the games, man. We're taking every damn game. We got the Westwood One games. We've got the ESPN games, and I'm really pleased. I got some really nice games as part of that package. And, of course, I think even Compass has a few games. We might even have those. So got some great games. Meanwhile, when I'm not there for them, I certainly will be happy to be back on the sideline with Paul doing the Louisville games. I'll be back with him for the Georgia Tech game. All right, I'm gonna do a fast read. I'm taking a break and then call Seth. And the fast read is for our friends at Lightstream, because right now, let's face it, you're really nervous about people coming to your house and repossessing everything you own because you took a look at your credit card and said, holy crap, what did I do? All right, well, here's a company that can help you avoid that kind of problem. It's a brand new year, and you're looking at the interest you're paying on the credit cards, and you're wondering, did you lose your mind? No, you didn't. You're just human. You just spent some money at the holidays. But wouldn't it be better if you can save some money now? Produce says it is, and I think so as well. Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. How about this? Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. You know what the national average interest rate for credit cards is? Over 20%.
Oh, I was going to guess.
Well, guess now. Say over 20%.
Over 20%?
You hit it right on the head. Whoa. That's fantastic. That is a lot of money you'll save if you get your credit cards consolidated with a loan from Lightstream. And on top of that, and if that weren't enough, you've got this. There's absolutely no fees. No fees. No application fees. No origination fees. No transaction fees. No prepayment penalties. Nothing. None of those things hidden in there. You literally are just saving money. The application is quick and easy. You can apply right from your phone because Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly what they deliver. And they will save you money on those high credit card balances with a terrific credit card consolidation loan. And we can save you even more money. Just for the listeners of our show, apply now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get it, go to lightstream.com/Valvano. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Valvano. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Valvano for more information. Seth Greenberg is coming up next on The V Show. Stick around.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Well, as you know, we like to do little subtle things to the listener. Like we have Seth Greenberg, who's going to join us now. He was born on Long Island. He coached in Long Beach State. He was he coached at Colorado, and he coached. He was the assistant at Colorado, and I think he was with Joe, wasn't he? I thought he was. And then he was the head coach in Florida. So you'd say, let's play Miami Vice. But he was the head coach at South Florida, which is a good 5 hours from Miami. So other than that, really had nothing to do with anything to do with him. But nonetheless, it was a fine suggestion, Produce. Thanks. The great thing is, you tell Nick, he will do it. You could have had him play the Lithuanian national anthem. He just said, that sounds good. Let's play that one. So that's great. Super Bowl is set, by the way. We didn't even get to that. We'll get that in just a little bit. First, if I could reach the phone. Oh, boy, it was a long way away.
I could pot it up.
No, I'm going to do it. I want to hit the button right here. Boop, and there he is. Seth Greenberg joins us right now. Seth, thanks for being with us. Happy Martin Luther King Day to you.
What do you have, alligator arms? You can't reach the phone?
You know that from going to dinner with me. You know that.
That's true. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Hopefully we can all live a little bit better and be more respectful of each other.
That would be.
So I apologize for talking about your alligator arms.
No. Oh, wow. It's going to be a kinder, gentler phone call. I don't know if I can do that with you. Hey, let's start with a kind of generic question, but this is a year that we now have another number one. It's an unusual year. There's no getting around that. By this time of the year, most years, we kind of have an idea of, like, kind of, I call them tiers. You'd have the very small group at the top that you'd think would be national champion contenders, and then some others that you say, hey, they could get hot and go to the, make a deep run, and then some that are just trying to get in the tournament, and then some that are probably unlikely to make it. This year, I don't even know if we have that top tier. How has it affected how you evaluate the teams?
I don't think it's affected how I evaluate the teams any which way. I mean, look, in the Big Ten, if you win a road game, it's absolutely an incredible win. Upsets in the Big Ten aren't upsets, in my opinion, unless Nebraska beats you or Northwestern beats you. The same thing in the Big East right now. Now, we've seen some upsets in the ACC. We've seen some things like, you know, in the Pac-12. When you go on the road, more level playing, there's not a dominant player nor a dominant team. There are teams that are better. And it really is, you've got to figure out a way as a coach right now to get your team to be ready to play every single night, because the margin of error is basically non-existent. And it's for a couple of reasons. One, the three-point line used to be the difference maker, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but here's the deal. The line moved back, and when the line moved back, it actually helped defenses shrink the court so fewer guys can make it. So now we've got making three-point shots. That's a big thing. There's just, you know, the younger teams are works in progress. Validating wins is almost impossible. I don't know if that's immaturity. I don't know if that's just the grind of the season. I don't know if it's societal in terms of guys are maybe more concerned about themselves, but we've got great games, close games, and you got to stay tuned because you know what? If you don't, you're going to miss something pretty special. But no one has really separated themselves, and that's going to be the norm. And the reason that's going to be the norm is because last year, 87 guys went out in the draft, underclassmen went out in the draft. Obviously, we know only 60 can get drafted. 20 of them are going to be European. Another 10 are going to be seniors. You got basically 50 guys out in the draft that would have been playing college basketball. So you've got that. You've got transfers. You've got a lot of stuff going on that is, you know, basically different.
I don't, you know, and I think I know how you stand on this because somebody had brought this up earlier, but I'll let you elaborate on it. This is just me, but I think it's great because every game, like I was watching TV the other night and, you know, but be honest with you, you get to league play in most years. If there were like five games on, there might be like two good ones, one okay, and then two that were pretty bad because usually the teams at the top were way ahead of the other teams. All five of these games were like down. It was like a first weekend of March Madness, and it was just in January. I think it's entertaining.
I think it's great. I think every weekend is the opening round of the tournament.
Okay. Well, because, you know, the other argument that college football guys always used to give us is, oh, well, our regular season's better because you don't really have to pay attention to basketball. Yeah, I don't think that's true anymore. You better pay attention to what's going on in basketball.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Bobby. Here's the deal is think about when was the last time you see Blue Bloods when games in January, you're going, well, I'm not sure those guys are going to be in the tournament.
Well,
because now, I mean, you've got them. I mean, like, hey, Kentucky's good. Yeah, that was a good win against Arkansas, but, you know, they're not there yet. They got the Evansville loss, the Utah loss at South Carolina, they're going to be in, but you know, they've got some good wins. But it's not like, Carolina, who knows if they're ever going to get in the tournament. You look at the ACC and you say, wait a second, we've got, you know, Florida State's played in good position, Louisville's in good position, Duke's in good position. Who else is in good position? I don't know. And Virginia's not. You know, Virginia Tech, you know, lost to Syracuse the other day. Is NC State going to separate themselves? You know, you go to the SEC and like, who separated themselves in the SEC? Auburn? Now, people can say, well, Auburn's lost two in a row by over 15. Look at their non-conference schedule. Are they in? We thought they were the best team in the country a week ago. They've got to beat someone worthwhile. And then you start going through that league, and you say, wait a second. These guys got to play. They got to win games to get there. The Big 12, you got three, maybe four that have separated themselves, Texas Tech maybe being the fourth. Anyone else in that league, they got a lot of basketball to play to get in there. So I think the games are going to be great. They mean more. It just means more, whether it's the SEC or the NCAA tournament.
I think you owe them a royalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking to Seth Greenberg here on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. So did your boy Cal get tossed on purpose the other day?
I was with him today, actually. I just got back from the Hoop Hall. And no, I don't think so. That was, you know, first of all, to me, it was absolutely, like, the calmest ejection I've ever seen in my life. Like, it wasn't like he was losing his mind. It wasn't anything else. It was Like, I thought he was upset because he couldn't find a Dunkin' Donuts. That's what his son said. I mean, it wasn't like, or he's been more upset, when he hadn't found a Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know. I mean, it was pretty bizarre to me. But it surely seemed like it made sense. I mean, they went zone. I'm not sure they would have went zone if he was still on the bench.
That's what I was going to ask you. Was that Kenny's decision unilaterally, or do you think Cal told him to do that?
No, I think that they were talking about doing it, and they were vacillating. They couldn't guard him off the bounce. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It was a great move. What happened was, in the scouting report, in their meetings, they said, well, you know, against zones, they get very stagnant. And that was always in the back of their mind, to go to zones, But Kenny went with it. I think Tony kind of pushed him towards it. And I just thought Kenny, the way he carried himself, I mean, Kenny's was really good. And those kids played for Kenny, and they played for Tony, and they played for Joel, and they played for Rhodes. They also played for Cal. Like, Ashton Hagen's grabbing coach and saying, like, hey, we got you. That was, you know, he empowered those guys. He knew it on purpose, but it ended up empowering those guys, which is really good.
Let's talk about Louisville a little bit. I mean, we know that Duke is playing a little shorthanded, obviously, but it's still winning at Cameron after they lost the game. You had some success there, but not an easy thing to do. I think that's, some wins count like a win and a half. That's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought they were really good. And look, I mean, yeah, they were without one McDonald's All-American. It's not like they didn't have others available. I thought that was, it is what it is. But I think that Louisville, David Johnson obviously changed them. I mean, and we've had this conversation before. I thought Trey Jones could not speed up David Johnson. It was like he was a gnat, and he was just knocking him away. I mean, there was a play. They said got the horn set. They were denying Noir the ball, so they came off of Noir, so they were above Noir, so it was like a double screen. He turned a corner, got in the lane. Here came three defenders at 6'6 or 6'7. He looked over it, kicked it out to the corner, bam, knocked down the three. I thought that the game plan that Chris had was absolutely terrific. I thought defensively they did a good job of guarding certain guys, not guarding certain guys, swarming and doubling the post and making it hard on carry. I thought that they did a good job of taking advantage of Duke denying the ball to Noir, yes, which opened up driving lanes,
yep,
and then also using Noir as a screener, which ended up a double screen.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't help but think back. That's how, I mean, you had success too, but I remember Jim always had success against them just for that reason, because he always had one or two guys that basically they just spread the floor and tried to have those guys go around people and take advantage because they're so extended. Those guys had to make good decisions. But I call it starting the merry-go-round. You need that guy, to make that move and then start the defense rotating, and then you get good shots.
That's a great line. Yeah. Still that. Start the merry-go-round.
Do that. So, I like that. So,
I think that and the big thing is, Duke's going to defend every inch of the floor. That's what they do.
Well, the way they play now.
They're the best, yeah. But they're back to doing that again.
Yeah, I know. What I mean? Yep.
They used to, when your brother, when Jim was coaching and when I was coaching in the league, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They're back to doing that because of Trey. And because they did that, it enabled Louisville to drive the basketball. Also run on them some. I always thought you had a run-on opportunity against Duke just to get a couple of baskets ahead of the defense, play ahead of defense. And then I thought defensively, they were physical. Like, here's my question about Duke. And look, they're great. They lost two games in a row. Does anyone have a little shape to their game? Do they have a guy to just say, people say, well, Vernon Carrier wasn't very good. Does anyone ever get him an easy basket? Does anyone ever get in the lane, draw a defender, throw it to the rim?
That's a problem. I mean, that was Louisville's. That's what, frankly, to be honest with you, what David Johnson brings to Louisville, because that's kind of a shortcoming they have. That's why he was running a lot of passing game stuff earlier, things like that, a lot of passing and screening away, because he watched all the films from last year, and they didn't have anybody who could really go around you other than Darius Perry. But now, if Johnson's there, not only can he go around you, Seth, I know you coached him, so you know. But my God, can he carry it to the rim? I mean, he gets it to the rim. My goodness. That's
physical.
I mean, that's a skill that none of the other guards have, and that's obviously a great skill to have because he's big and strong enough to do it, and he gets a half step on you. And next thing you know, he's all the way at the 10, and he's dropping it in or dunking.
And he passes.
Yes, he's
or he draws the extra, and he can see right over the defense, and it's bam, and guys shoot step in threes.
Yeah, so they're going to be a lot better with him. But I think it also depends. I think they are like everybody else in a sense. Everybody else that's a good team. There's no perfect teams, and matchups are going to go a long way. Like, you know, that's they're going to all have to find ways to get contributions from guys. Like, that's not a great game, obviously, for Ryan McMahon, the way they defend. Okay, but you did it, he had a big shot late. But there will be other games. I'm not sure that David's going to have an easy time of it as a little bit of inexperience. If you, you know, you play, I bet you he would have less of a good time playing against the pack line kind of defense than against the Duke kind of defense. Because he's not really been asked to shoot it a lot, and I don't know. You coached him. I think he can, but he's not a great shooter yet.
Yeah, he can shoot. Not a great. He's not. You know, he doesn't just step in and elevate. But yeah, pack line. But he's playing against it every day in practice.
Yeah, that might. But so down the road with experience, he'll be good. By the way, I got to ask.
They're going to be good. They're good. They're, you know, I mean, look. I mean, they needed a guy that was like. I asked on game day. I asked Jay. I said, "Well, how do you think he'll handle this environment for the first time?" And like Jay said, "Well, you know, it's the first time or not, a lot of guys can't handle this environment. He handled it."
No, absolutely. Seth Greenberg from ESPN's with us. I got to ask you about this next team because I had them for ESPN Radio Saturday. It's the first time I've had a chance to do them. We had not done a lot of Pac-12 games, and we're starting to do some this year. And I had Colorado and Arizona. And Seth, I walked out of there and I said, "How in God's green earth?" Was Arizona not ranked? I mean, my goodness. I know I can see.
Three freshmen are good, aren't
they? Oh, my Lord. They were spectacular. I mean, Pace Mannion is a stud. He does everything. He can. Like Pace Mannion. I keep calling him by his father's name. There we go. I'm showing my age, right?
Hey, Nico, don't feel bad. I've done it about four times on national TV, and then Twitter comes at me and tells me I'm an idiot. I should get off the air. So don't
at least they're tolerant of things like that. Yes, we are old enough to remember his dad, Pace Mannion, but Nico is terrific. But, I mean, they did everything, Seth. They defended, they rebounded, they run like maniacs.
Play faster.
Oh, well, my God.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, their average length of possession is like in the top 50 right now, where if you look at Sean's teams through the years, you know, they've never been. The average length of possession is like 171 a year ago. It's, you know, 192. This kid has changed how they're playing. And then you got Josh Greenfield and Landon's Ignaji, and you've got enough different guys that can step up. Smith kid is Dylan Smith's an experienced kid. And they're a good team. They're not as good defensively as they've been in the past. But they are a fun team and a fast team and a talented team.
And they're a typical team, in my opinion, of what's going on. I mean, you look at them and say, could they make a deep run in March? Absolutely. Are you sure they're going to make a deep run in March? No.
Not sure.
I mean, it's...
Well, here's our thing. We did a ceiling and a floor the other day. So I had West Virginia. And I said their ceiling is they get knocked out in the first round. I mean, their floor is they get knocked out in the first round. And their ceiling is they could go to the Final Four behind their defense and their rebounding. So what do? They go to Kansas State, get blown out. Thank you very much.
well, I mean, we all have great affection for your friend and mine, Tom Izzo. But, I mean, explain that loss at Purdue. They couldn't even get 50 points. I mean, that's kind of what
but
we're
– that's the Big Ten.
But that's also the landscape right now.
Yeah, it's 100% the landscape, especially in that league. You know, I talked to Tom the day after that game, and I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Just got paid by 100." I didn't think I'm doing. He's on his way. He goes, "You want to coach? I'm on my way to Montreal, and I got to explain why I lost by 100." But look, they were playing at such a high level for a long period of time; they were due for a stinker. And if you can contain Cassius in the ball screen, and what they did a great job of Purdue, the scouting in the Big Ten is the best scouting in college basketball.
Really?
It's unbelievable. So what do? They jam.
Wait. Before we leave that, I got to come back to that. Why is it better in the Big Ten than the other leagues?
I don't know. It's incredible. I mean, it really is. The Big Ten game preparation and what they give and what they take away to me, the coaches, everything is scouting driven, and they make something else beat you. I think it's incredible. I think if you go back and watch, it really is incredible.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty damn
deep. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, that's why I asked you. You're going by watching film and saying, okay, you think that that's what they're doing. But the proof so far is in the pudding, as they say, because you look at this league, my goodness, they got – I mean, how many teams could go to the tournament in that league right now? Eight?
I think everyone goes to Northwestern and Nebraska.
that's one, two. How many teams is? I don't even remember how many teams are in that Big Ten right now.
Is that 11?
I don't even know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They said 12. 12 teams to the tournament. I got a feeling that isn't going to happen. I have a feeling.
Let me ask you this. All right, wait a second. Hold on a second, big boy. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go through the league.
Okay.
All right. Sure. All right. And you tell me who you do not think is getting in the tournament. All right.
All right.
All right. Is Penn State getting in the tournament?
I don't think it's a lock. I think that's an if. That's an iffy.
I think they're in pretty good shape. Rutgers is getting into the tournament.
Rutgers right now is rock solid. Sure. Okay.
All right. All right. The only if you think Penn, then you're going to say that Minnesota. You're not sure they're in yet.
Well, I think.
Would be the other if.
Let's play tennis, and I'll hit it back to your end now. Do you think all these teams are getting in? Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Iowa, for that matter. And Iowa's ranked right now, but I remember one year when Mark Gottfried was at Alabama, and they were ranked number one in December, and they didn't even go to the tournament.
They don't have the wins they have. Like here, look, Purdue has a bad loss to Texas and that Marquette where they had the meltdown. They got a VCU win. They got a Minnesota win. They got a Michigan State win. They're probably in the worst shape of all of them. Penn State's in good shape.
No, I thought they were too. I mean, I was just being.
I mean, Penn State, yeah, look, I mean, like they got an Ohio State win, they got an Iowa win, they got an Alabama win, they got a Maryland win, they got a Syracuse win, I mean, they got a Georgetown win. I mean, their worst losses, the Mississippi loss is the one bad loss they have. I mean, like, you start going through it, Illinois, they've got good wins. I mean, you start going through it, say, like, if a team could get to, you know, Your brother used to say it's no longer in the ACC because I proved it wrong three out of 4 years. Well, your brother used to say 8-8 and life is great in the ACC.
Before that, he said 7-7 and go to heaven because they only played 14 games. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I'm saying now the Big Ten this year is turned into the ACC. If you're 500, you're in.
Okay.
20 game schedule. That means you're going to probably have 8 to 10. Quad one wins.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what else? And they say this all the time because I've sat in that, you know, when they used to come to Bristol and do the thing with us. And they say, well, we don't really look at how many teams from a league. But I find that hard to believe that somewhere in the back of your mind, if it's getting at the end, you don't think to yourself, we're going to put a 10th team from this league in rather than a third team from that other league. I don't know. I just think human nature says.
But here's the thing. You don't know what league they're in, but you go, damn, they got 10. They got 12 quad one wins.
Well, yeah, if you looked at it as the blind resume thing, they would. I get that. But, I mean, in Iowa, I'm looking at the Sagarins, who I have enormous, enormous respect for. You'll like this because this makes your case for you. Michigan State is 6. Maryland is 11. Iowa's 13. Iowa's 13. Yeah. Wisconsin's 23. Purdue's 25. Rutgers 27, Michigan 28, Penn State 30. Good Lord. Illinois 31. So you've got, what did I just say? It's 7 or 8 teams out of the top 31 in the country. And Minnesota's 34. So, it's not out of the realm of possibility, I guess. That would be wild. What's the record? Do you know? What's the record for most teams from one league?
Ooh, it has to be the Big East way back in the day, right?
Got to be 9, I think. I can't imagine. Yeah, I don't know. Nobody's
nine.
Ever
yeah,
said 10.
Nine.
Nobody's ever said
I just wish the ACC had a couple more. I'd still be talking to you, but I'd probably be making more money.
You're doing okay. You're doing okay for yourself.
Good. I'm not complaining. Had a full day. Hoop Hall in the morning, talked to you in the afternoon, pulled 3 plays on showing that Duke's defense, because of the way they play, got exploited. They've lost 2 in a row. They're letting their opponents shoot 50 from the field and 40 from the 3. What's going on? I mean, it's a full day. Life is good. Jake's right here taking a little nap next to me.
Beautiful.
I'll probably bundle up and give him a walk later. I mean, life is good.
All right. That's nice. On that note, we'll leave it because the world needs more people saying life is good. Take care of yourself. I'll see you soon, buddy. Be well.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
Seth Greenberg. He's a good boy. Makes sense.
Big fan of Uncle
Seth. Like a big puppy dog. He's a good boy. Come here, Sethy. You want a nice bone? Come here.
You're going to scratch his ears?
Can't pet his fur because, hey, he hasn't got any fur on top of his head. The man is bald as a cue ball. Hey, how you doing? Sometimes he and Billis put their heads together, make an ass of yourself. But seriously,
Who's the third guy? They do Bald Man on Campus. That's a funny show. It's Jay. It's
Lafonso bald.
Lafonso's bald. Yeah, it's those three. Yeah. Well, I don't think any
all
of
good
them
guys.
Used to be.
By the way, you know, in this business, it's very, very important that you be thin-skinned and resent everybody who has success. If you youngsters out there who want to get in this business, understand the minute you take the commitment, you say, "I'm going to stop being a civilized and rational and empathetic human being. It's all about me. It's all about if I could get jobs at my station and have to screw somebody out of it. Well, that's just the way it goes." And anybody who actually is getting jobs or awards that is remotely tangential to what I do. Hell, that guy just won an award as the best fashion consultant for E-Television. I could do that. I dress nice. Why don't I have that award? That's how this business works. Having said that, very hard to resent Lafonso, Seth, and Billis. Such good guys, all of them. Very, very, very generous of spirit, and they do very, very good. So they do very good work. Very good doesn't make sense, but they do very good work.
I feel like you should write a book on your thoughts on getting in the business. The 10 steps of mildly successful radio professionals.
Oh, that's like a left-handed shot at me.
No, it wasn't. See, wow, you're doing it. You're right. Perfect. Look at that. Thin skin. No, I was saying that.
Why would I write that then? Because if you get like somebody who writes an Italian cookbook, it's because you think they're an expert on Italian cooking. So if I were writing a book on tips to be mediocre in radio, you would be implying. I let you fill in the rest of the blank.
It's your thin skin, and you're not letting me finish what I was talking about.
Okay, go ahead, finish it.
It's like the seven, what is it, the seven habits of highly successful like teenagers, or seven habits of highly successful people.
They've turned into a whole series of books. Yeah. Everybody's seven habits of highly irritated bowel syndrome survivors. I mean, there's all sorts of those.
Speaking of bowel syndrome survivors.
What?
Poor Patty, man.
Patty who?
Patty Ice.
What happened to him?
He said it was coming out both ends.
Oh, he's got that? Yeah, I am so terrified of getting sick right now, because this for me, all kidding aside, I get paid by my assignment. And from now till the end of March, I got to make hay as the sun shines, or whatever that cliche is. And if I get sick right now, oy, and everywhere I look, people are sick. I really thought about getting on the airplane with that stupid surgical mask thing. But
Maybe. I don't know if that helps. Maybe, but, you know.
I don't know.
But eating your vitamins. And getting your proper sleep and hydration.
Well, the way you'll try and be healthier in a good way is to use Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, which today is our carb load day.
Not carb. It's I've referred to it like that way, too.
And they yelled at you. It's a load day. But I didn't want to say that because that would make the mixtape. So I put carb in there knowing it was wrong, and yet it insulated me from some sort of a double entendre.
I have no idea what – I'm not even trying to set you up. Don't say it. I have no idea what double entendre you're talking about, but all I know is that we're supposed to eat a lot of healthy fats today. It's a healthy fat load up day.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is I'm a fat load. There we go, thin skin show. Welcome to the thin skin show.
Should that be a character? That should be a new character.
Ooh, we got to come up with one for him. We also, by the way, we got to come up with a score sheet of all the characters because people ask, two people. So we got to have a score sheet. That should be a red light challenge. If you can name
all the characters?
Yeah, if you can name all of them, we would give you some sort of a prize.
I'm not even sure we remember them all.
Yeah, well, so you reminded me of one the other day I'd forgotten. Plus, we have a new one now.
Which one?
We had Reluctant Maria, and then Translator Teresa, and the twins, Talk Show, Talk Sports Tommy, Talk Sports Terry, Giorgio. We've got Billy O'Dell.
Who's that? Other Sports?
Oh, Billy could have come in
other sports
today.
Other Sports Otto.
Oswald, the drummer, who joins us. We haven't played that spot. Has he been off? Is he on vacation? Somebody told me he had carpal tunnel, which is terrible for a drummer, the poor guy. So hopefully he's bouncing back. The Universal Windows Direct drummer, Oswald. He gets into that spot. Loves that spot. That is quality. Produce, get with the program. And that's Oswald, the drummer for the Universal Windows Direct spot. He goes nuts at that drumming sequence there. Yes, you need to know him. Look, every time we do that spot, we bring people out of the bullpen.
Mitch is back there.
He's
Mitch
like,
Hannigan,
what the hell
Andy,
is going on?
Everyone's well, they hear pounding.
Yeah,
a lot of times they think the pounding is talk sports.
They don't want to miss that. Yeah. They want to get here because they like when they rail on us. So no, that's Oswald. So now what do? We've kind of split spots there. It's like splitting an infinitive. because we started the, you know, the Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, and then we dropped in a Universal Windows right smack dab in the middle. I said we go finish the Universal Windows direct because Oswald's here, and he gets a kick out of hearing. Don't play Oswald. No, Oswald. Do not play the drum solo again. Thank you, though. Just sit and listen. Enjoy it. Enjoy the good folks at Universal Windows Direct because we got to see if we can isolate just the drum solo. That's the key. That's the whole key to it. But because Oswald, we all love the rest of the copy, but I'm telling everybody about it right now, so we don't want to do overkill because it's the best window on the market. It lasts five times longer than other windows because they use super spacer technology, which is rooted in aerospace research. Keeps the edge of the window sealed better, so your house, like right now, it was 18 when I came in this morning, will stay warmer and toastier and comfortable. And in the summer, it'll keep your house cooler. Why do you want to pay the energy costs to send all that, literally the utility bills with the energy and the is going out the window? Keep it in your home, and that's what it's all about with Universal Windows Direct. Right now, you buy one, you get one free, no installation fee, 0% financing up to 36 months, and they are warranted, guaranteed for as long as you own your home and for 30 years to the next homeowner. That's a product that makes Oswald get all excited.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
That's aggressive, Anita. Right now, for she likes to sing even when we don't ask her to sing. This was just about Oswald, Anita. We didn't need you. I just told everybody all that. Come on, Oswald, play it anyway. Hit it.
Like me, you'll be saying,
I love my windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal
Thank you, Oswald.
Windows Direct.
Give it up for Oswald, ladies and gentlemen. Oh,
I had Oswald queued up. I really did.
How'd you screw it up? Just curious.
What?
How'd you screw it up?
This is way too inside baseball back here.
All right. Well,
basically,
quick.
Basically, I had the spot playing. Yeah. I paused it right before.
And it reset.
To give Oswald his cue. Because, you know, they're artists.
When you pause
they
it,
have to,
when you
they
pause
have
it for too long, it goes
thing.
Back to start.
Yeah, so then even though I was like, all right, now you're on, Oswald. Yeah.
Anita said, no,
Anita
I sing first.
Smashing in there.
Anita. Aggressive Anita says, I sing first. Hello, girls. How are you? Looking at us like the zoo animals that we are through the window.
Who,
I always feel
who
like
who are these guys?
We should just at that moment they do
just start
that.
Throwing
start you know eating peanuts or throwing banana peels at the window.
I want to throw feces at the window. No.
Once again,
an angry monkey.
I tiptoe toward the line. Nick says, "Get out of the way." I'm Bob Beeman. Here I come. 28 feet 6 inches. Oh man, there was one of two things you could have chosen to do that zoo animals do that would have been completely inappropriate. That was one, and I'm not even going to hint at the other, or you'll say it, but I'm sure listeners were thinking of it, so at least Nick took the lesser of the two evils. So there you go. All right, let's see.
Monkey sex.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.